Cooper.
Jamie.
What's with all the police trucks outside and cameras everywhere, Jamie?
I'm not supposed to tell.
Something happening?
Don't rat me out.
I won't.
You know the butcher? That freaking nut job that goes around just chopping people up? Well, the feds or whatever heard that he's gonna be here today, so they set up a trap for him. This whole concert? It's a trap. They're watching all the exits, checking everyone that leaves. There's no way to get out of here.
I'm sorry, Riley, what was that?
Your daughter's never gonna forget this day.
I'm just sad to see you go.
You're gonna go out there and be completely normal.
I've been pretending it's normal since we got here. Dad?
You remember that time you guys came to stay? You flipped out and tried to leave without saying goodbye?
What's changed, Arthur?
I'll tell you what's changed. I'm not alone anymore. That's what we should be talking about.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Book Movie Guy, the podcast. I'm your host, Brennan Huber, and it's nice to talk to you today. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. The sun is shining. It's coming in through my windows as I sit in the main floor of my house, and I chat with you guys on this lovely Saturday morning. I'm going to chat with you about all things coming up, all things movie related, of course. There's so many trailers, I should say, that have come out in the last little while. I've been sent some things. I've been talked to. My friend Austin sent me the trailer for Trap. Have you guys seen this? Trap. M. Night Shyamalan's new one. Trap looks great. I'll throw the trailer in this episode here. And while I do that, I want you guys to listen real close to this trailer, because the thing is while I watch this trailer, I think to myself, M. Night is back. M. Night is back in a very, very big way. This looks interesting. It looks like a twister, a turner. I mean, he kind of mind warps you throughout the trailer. He really does, because you got this really heartfelt, almost like, it almost feels like a like a not a comedy, but just like a happy-go-lucky family. You know, you got this father and son, or father and daughter. He's taking her to what feels like a Doja Cat or Taylor Swift-esque level of a concert, and, you know, thousands of people. And then all of a sudden, you got the security guards kind of locking it down, the police locking it down. This place is being completely surrounded by all cops because there's a serial killer that's on the loose, and they're trying to trap him. And throughout this trailer, the dad sort of finds out that that's what's going on, that they're trying to trap this serial killer in the concert because they had a lead saying that he was going to be at this concert. And sort of as the trailer unfolds, we learn that the father is this killer. And the way that that M. Night sort of unveils this trailer to us, it feels like he's very back. And it feels like an M. Night Shyamalan. It feels like there will be nothing but twists and turns. Comes out in August, comes out in the summertime here. And I got the way that he shows us that he's the killer. He's got this guy locked in his basement, and, you know, we get these close up shots of him, and he's got sort of a twitch in his eye. He's this amazing father to his daughter, bringing her to this ultimate event. And then you see the cops sort of pulling people out of the crowd, pulling them in for questioning and stuff. And, you know, we get the title card slowly creeping in and slowly fading into this guy. It looks amazing. It looks amazing. And it's called Trap. And I highly, highly recommend that we all go see this one. This guy he's kind of an unknown. I don't know who this actor is. I haven't seen him in anything. And I believe that M. Night, as he does this movie, I feel as though it gives me sort of a Split vibe in many ways, but he also sort of takes us on this journey of what will it be? What will be the outcome? Twists and turns are that's sort of his bread and butter, M. Night Shyamalan. And the last major thing that I remember from him is the Split series, essentially, basically the Unbreakable trilogy, if you will, with Bruce Willis, Samuel Jackson, and James McAvoy. And on that last name, James McAvoy, we turn to another trailer in this moment. And this trailer is from Blumhouse. And Blumhouse, you know, they do horrors, but they're dabbling in this sort of like, I call it sort of a psycho thriller in a way. And the reason it's a psycho thriller is you have this character who's sort of introduced in James McAvoy, and he's, you know, charismatic, as we know. He's got a family. He meets Scoot, old Scoot McNairy from Batman v Superman, the legless man who explodes in the wheelchair. I like Scoot McNairy. He's a very, very, very good actor. He's kind of one of those guys who shows up as a supporting role in a lot of films. A lot of major directors like to use him. And in this Blumhouse film, this new trailer that's been released, if you have not seen this, go see it. Speak No Evil, it's called. And James McAvoy in this trailer, he's mysterious, and he's very charismatic, and he's welcoming. But at the same time, there's something going on. And as this family runs into this other family and sort of brings them into their home and their ways, they're sort of taking them in, it seems like. And as the trailer unfolds, we see that James's children, the little boy, he's missing a tongue. His tongue has been cut out. And James McAvoy slowly becomes a very serious, evil character in this. Like, you can tell he is going to be a force. And he's unpredictable. That's the reason James McAvoy is so good to me is he can be this charming, sort of happy-go-lucky guy. He's very welcoming. He's very kind. He can have that sort of boyish, impish charm, if you will. And then the switch flips. You know, there's this point in the trailer where the kids are, you know, playing around in front of the adults as they do. And, James flips a switch and he's upset about the performance the kids are giving. And he starts throwing shit at them. And then all of a sudden we cut to a scene where the kid shows the father of the family that has been brought into this other family, James's family, shows him that he doesn't have a tongue. And James McAvoy, as we continue on in this trailer, he starts to get scary. Blumhouse, to me, they've always been, they border a good film. It's never really over the top good. And they always push the envelope a little bit in the sense of the horror genre is, it's just odd at times and it's not for everyone. But this Speak No Evil, it feels like more of a psycho thriller and it feels like more of a cohesive story. I look forward to this one in many ways, and especially in James McAvoy's performance. And the kids look really good. I mean, the kids showing the guy that his tongue was cut out. I mean, you could have a situation here where James McAvoy isn't even the father of these children. He's just abducted them and, you know, used them as his children and used them to trap others, use them to trap other families or torture other children. Who knows, right? And that's the darkness that is Blumhouse. But the thing that kind of intrigues me the most is that it's written and directed by the same guy. And usually when that happens, you have a cohesive story. And it is the producer of The Invisible Man. I love The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss. I watched her in Handmaid's Tale, and she's always so good. And Blumhouse sort of grabs these actors who are such good actors in their craft and who can kind of do that psychotic side, if you will. And James McAvoy is the perfect choice for that. And I always look forward to what his next thing will be. And I can't talk about all these trailers without touching on this next one. And the next one is, of course, my highly anticipated, but now possibly your highly anticipated, as you've watched this trailer, I'm sure. It's come out in the last couple of weeks, and it is, without a doubt, the trailer of the year so far for me. I mean, I'm so tied to these DC characters that, of course, it's going to be the trailer of the year so far for me, but at the same time, you have to tip your cap to a cinematography that comes along once in a while that is just so encapsulating. It draws you in, and that is what Todd Phillips and his team do with the first Joker movie, and now the trailer for Joker, Folie à Deux, with Lady Gaga. And casting, I gotta say this. So if you don't know, Joker Folie à Deux is the sequel to Todd Phillips' Joker that came out in 2019. Very famous movie. Grossed over $1 billion at the box office, and Joaquin Phoenix famously won Best Actor for that role, as he should. He was phenomenal, and it was a great film. It wasn't for everyone because it sort of borders on this mental health. What do we as a society contribute to mental health, and what could we do to potentially create a character like the Joker by sort of stepping on and pushing those who are less than, if you will. You know, if it was me lying on the street, you'd walk right over me. Famous line from that film. Joaquin in this trailer, along with Lady Gaga, I gotta say this, Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn, she was born for this role. I mean, she was born and bred in New York. You know, she actually busked. She was in the clubs in New York playing piano, sort of jazzy. They really tailor to Lady Gaga in this trailer, and with it being written and directed by Scott Silver and Todd Phillips, the same duo as the first Joker, I know that we're going to get tones that are very similar, as they should be. But in this trailer, we get the force that is Harleen Quinzel, that is Harley Quinn, that is Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. She looks great. She looks like she was, it's literally the perfect casting, because Lady Gaga has a massive following. So if you want to follow up with a sequel and you want to cast a Harley Quinn, Lady Gaga is the perfect choice. And for Warner Brothers, I mean, her success coming off of A Star Is Born and that sort of audience that she brings, her music brings so many people in. And Harley Quinn is, she's one of those characters you can get on board with. You know, it'll be a Halloween costume, Joker Harley. I'm sure it'll be in, I mean, it's an October release, Folie de, it's an October release. And that for me is also another marketing stunt. You know, you're going to get the Halloween costumes. You're going to get more people going to see a film around Halloween about Joker and Harley Quinn. You just are. And the fact that it looks, I mean, if you watch the first Joker trailer and then you watch Folie de, shot for shot parallels with each trailer. And I love that artsy side to it, you know? I love the cinematography. I love the sort of the contribution to the details. The sort of, they care about the details. And that is what this Joker trailer brings. And perhaps one of my favorite shots that I've seen in recent memory is the end of this trailer where Lady Gaga draws with the lipstick, the red lipstick, a smile on the glass as she's visiting Joaquin Phoenix Joker. And she says that she wants to see the real. She said, I want to see the real you. And the camera sort of, it blurs out Joaquin and it zooms in real clear on the lipstick that she's drawn on the smile on the glass. And then we sort of, Joaquin comes into focus behind that lipstick. And we sort of slowly focus in on Joaquin. And as we focus in on Joaquin, he smiles to sort of, he exactly outlines where that lipstick would be on his lips. And the amount of detail and the amount of sort of the intricacy of a shot like that, what it would have took to sort of get that perfect, you know, that is what I like. That's the art that is filmmaking, and that is what Todd Phillips is doing with this Joker sequel. And it feels like it's going to be a musical, but in a way that I didn't expect. I thought maybe there was going to be original music. I thought maybe we would, God forbid, we'd see Joaquin Phoenix singing. And maybe we will, I don't know. But for the most part, what we see is sort of this parallel of what Joker and Harley Quinn are experiencing in their world versus what's happening in the real world is how it seems. And obviously there's, I think Joker is awaiting a trial, it seems, and Harley is very, she's going to be the new sort of face that comes in and shows herself to the public. But what are we going to see, and what are we as a fan base going to see the viewer? Whose perspective are we getting? And that's where we get a lot of shots in this trailer where it's two very different perspectives. We have Joker and Harley's perspective where it's almost like the La La Land of this dark, gritty universe. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's sort of like this lovely set. They're on a stage. You know, there's a point in time where Harley's skipping up to the altar and Joker's wearing the all white, the all-encompassing white suit. I think of The Dark Knight Returns Joker with that white suit in that comic. And that was, it's nice to see Joaquin Phoenix in an all-white suit wearing the Joker makeup. I just, that for me is, that's cool. I just like to see that. I love that that's going to be in there regardless. Look, Harley's final look, I think it looks pretty cool. I mean, it was spoiled in set photos. We got to see her sort of on that day walking up the stairs towards the Hall of Justice, if you will, and she's wearing her Harley Quinn outfit for the first time, but it looks pretty good as she's walking up in the classic red and black outfit with her black eyeliner. There's as I said, there was shot-for-shot parallels with each trailer. And I think of the first Joker trailer where Joaquin Phoenix is pulling on his smile so hard that a tear falls out of his eye. And then in this trailer, we get Gaga in the mirror doing almost the same thing, but this time it's with her eyes. She's pulling down on her cheeks just underneath her eyes with her eye makeup. Shots like that. You know, we get Arthur Fleck just sort of pulling himself up these stairs like he's just, it's this mountain of a climb. And now in this trailer, we get the same shot, but it's Lady Gaga. And I don't know. I think this movie has potential to, I mean, will it cross, let's say, 800 million? Yeah, I think so. I think it's got all the makings, especially the time that it's going to come out and the amount of people that follow Lady Gaga, and with Joaquin Phoenix coming off of the Oscar for his last performance as Joker. I think that that draws the sort of snobby crowd, if you will. They'll come and see it. And it also draws the casual viewer because it's a Joker and Harley Quinn story. Lots of people know that. But it also draws Lady Gaga fans, like I said. And I'm a big fan of Lady Gaga and her music alone. So to hear that she's going to play Harley Quinn, I was sold right away. Heard it was a musical. Doesn't seem like it's going to be much of a musical. Maybe more so we'll get hits and classic songs throughout. Like, I love the song they chose for this. It's very similar to the first trailer in that, you know, that first trailer had that song Smile. Smile, though your heart is aching, smile. You know that song? So good. But then this one, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's so perfect, right? And it's haunting. The way that they put it in, it's haunting. And yeah, I mean, Todd Phillips understands the relationship between Joker and Harley. But more importantly, Todd Phillips has this sort of gold mine that is his vision for Joker in this world, in this universe. It's dark, it's gritty, it's sort of, it's got its own tone, its own vibe. And the fact that Warner Brothers and DC are just letting him continue on with this, I mean, yeah, bring it on. Like, he obviously, he enjoyed the success from the first film and wanted to take another crack at it. And the fact that Joaquin Phoenix came back, he doesn't do sequels. Just plain and simple, like Joaquin Phoenix doesn't do simple or sequels. Sorry, he's a one and done guy, and he's very much a force of an actor that sort of chooses his roles very. He's very particular about the roles that he takes on, and he's not one of those guys that you're going to see in every film. And so the fact that he came back for a sequel tells you that the content or the context of the script clearly brought him back, and him and Todd have a good relationship there, and I'm nothing but excited for this one. Nothing but excited for it, and had to talk about it here on this podcast. Another big one that's coming out, I mean, maybe more so for you animated buffs out there, is Transformers 1. Now, Paramount is coming out big, man. Paramount is coming out with some stuff, and Transformers 1 is on the bill for me. It's one of the major names that came out, and to hear that it's animated and to hear that Chris Hemsworth is voicing Optimus Prime, it piqued my interest. So I watched this trailer, and let me tell you that the animation in this is very strange. It's very different. It's so different than what I expected. For me, the humor works. The voice works. I really like the voice of Optimus. Like, I thought Chris Hemsworth was almost unrecognizable as Optimus. But I do want to say that it's a origin story of the Transformers and Optimus Prime, and I'm not fully sold on the animation. It sort of feels like I'm watching a children's Netflix film where the animation is, it's just not my cup of tea. I'll say that. I think that the story looks great. I think that the origin of the Transformers and Optimus Prime looks all right. Looks pretty cool. I love the name Transformers 1, but it kind of gives me Miles Morales Spider-Man Into the Multiverse sort of vibes. That's what they were going for. But they just, it feels at times like a Lego movie, and I don't love that. I don't love it. Yeah, I don't know. It's for me, Transformers 1 was the most recently released trailer that didn't really do anything for me. So I wanted to throw that one in this podcast as well, because listen, there's all kinds of stuff coming out here. We got the Penguin trailer coming out. Well, Penguin trailer has been released. I watched that the other day as well. The Batman universe. And I wanted to talk quickly about the Batman universe, because it's important that when the Penguin series comes out on Max, on HBO Max and Crave, we're diving back into Matt Reeves' universe. And they're calling it the Batman saga. I've talked about this. Colin Farrell as the Penguin in this series, the next chapter in the Batman saga, it looks like it's, you know, it says it's from Matt Reeves. So it's going to be the same style as the Batman. We're going to get that universe. We're going to get it fleshed out more. And an interesting name pops up on IMDb when I look up the cast for the Penguin show. Now that it's sort of done filming, they're ready to sort of release this thing in a few months here. Mark Strong. You guys know who Mark Strong is? Do you remember him from, let's say, Kick-Ass? He's the main boss in Kick-Ass. He's in Shazam. He's the main villain in Shazam. Mark Strong is a... He's a very talented actor that doesn't sort of take on many roles. And he's a bigger name than a minor character. And the curious part on IMDb, and I sent this to a few of my friends, Mark Strong is listed on IMDb as Carmine Falcone. But we know that Carmine Falcone was played by John Turturro in the first Batman movie. So that leads me to believe that Mark Strong is not playing Carmine Falcone, but rather a different villain, a different rogues gallery villain. Who will it be? My guess is Clayface. Now bear with me here, because in Batman Earth 1, we get a Clayface that is almost identical to what Mark Strong looks like. He's bald, he's tall, he's able to manually reconstruct his face to look like different people. And that's sort of the Clayface, the more grounded, realistic Clayface that we get in Batman Earth 1. I see that being the direction that Matt Reeves goes with Clayface. And we've heard rumors that Clayface is going to be one of the villains in the upcoming Batman sequel. And that, of course, has been delayed to 2026 now, which is it's a bit of a shame for sure. I want to get excited for that one. But in the meantime, we have the Superman movie with James Gunn that'll be coming out, the Penguin show, which will hopefully feed us until 2026. And I hope that we get some more rogues villains in this. Mark Strong would be a really good Mr. Freeze, but I don't see them going that route now. Mark Strong for me is going to be Clayface. That's truly what I believe. I would be shocked if he isn't Clayface. You know, they could go down that route. They're going to do Clayface. I could see them doing Hush. Hush is more... Let's discuss this. Let's discuss this quick. I think that in a sequel for the Batman, I've talked about this with a few of my friends, you could do Hush, because Robert Pattinson could play both roles. In the comics, Hush is somebody who transforms himself to look like Bruce Wayne. He's sort of an imitator of Bruce Wayne, if you will. He's sewn together to look like Bruce, and he basically haunts Bruce throughout that comic. And I could see Robert Pattinson playing a sort of double role in Hush. At the same time, you know, you're going to have Barry Keoghan's Joker back, you're going to have Colin Farrell's Penguin back, and you're going to have potentially Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman back. So you're starting to build a bit of a rogues gallery of its own in Matt Reeves' Batman universe. At the same time, do I want to see Robert Pattinson play a double feature, play two roles, play a villain and the hero? Yeah, of course I do. I mean, I'm a greedy guy. I love Batman. I love Robert Pattinson. So give me more of that. But the point is that the opportunities are endless and that sky is the limit. Our imaginations can run wild. And that's the fun. That's the beauty of having these shared universes or these different universes. I've now talked about three separate universes. I've talked about Todd Phillips' Joker universe. I've talked about the DC universe with James Gunn's Superman. And I've talked about the Batman universe with the Penguin series coming out on HBO Max and the Batman sequel coming out. So we've got three major DC universes happening. You know, DC Elseworlds projects like the Batman and like Joker. But you can also have your mainstream DC content. And now Matt Reeves, you're hearing that he's double dipping into both sides. Matt Reeves is going to be doing the work on the Arkham series for DC Studios. How exciting is that? You're going to get this sort of grounded rogues gallery in the Batman. And then maybe the fantastical rogues gallery on the DC side, on the DC Studios side, facing off against Batman. Who's going to be Batman in the DC universe? That's an interesting question in itself, because we finally got a look at David Corn-Sweat on set for, it looks like a Hawaii or a Mexico sort of photo shoot. It looks like a health and fitness photo shoot. He's in like all black, like black shorts, black tank top, and his hair has been dyed jet black. Like he's sort of a brunette or a dirty blonde, I guess, naturally, in his other roles that I've seen him in and previous pictures and stuff. He's a brunette. He's, you know, he's got all kinds of sort of, his features are lighter than what we see in this photo shoot. And these pictures are so blurry. And it's hilarious because you see people, there's these pictures of David Corn-Sweat from a tiny phone from afar, like from afar. But you can see this guy's muscles. You can see how jacked he's gotten. And it's our first official look at how big David Corn-Sweat's gotten for the role of Clark Kent Superman. I love the jet black hair. I can't wait for the suit reveal. I mean, all we have is the crest at this point. I'm excited for a different style, a different look for Superman, and I'm excited for the cast. I'm excited for it all. DC's about to kick off in a major way. I mean, 2025, we're going to be eating real good because we're actually going to get a Superman movie. And that, to me, will tide me over until 2026 to see another Batman movie. And I mean, if we keep going along this trend, and DC has this 10-year plan that actually succeeds, I really hope people go and watch the movies. I hope we go to the theater. I hope we sort of get on board with this Gods and Monsters Chapter 1 of the DC Universe. And I hope that we get a really good casting for DC's Batman. Because I think you're going to need to cast somebody who is of equal name and of equal, I don't know how to say this, but knowingness. The people who recognize him. I mean, David Corn-Sweat is very early into his Hollywood career. So to cast him as Superman, it's interesting to me. And also, it's interesting to me that this guy, Alan Ritchson, from The Reacher Show. Do you remember Thad from Blue Mountain State? Reacher on Prime, if you look up The Reacher Show, Alan Ritchson, this guy has been campaigning that he wants to play Batman. And I can see it, man. I could totally see this guy playing Batman. And he's big enough to play a DC Batman. And I think you need a big, jacked Batman for the DC side, because you're going to have David Corn-Sweat, who's this massive Superman. And I think you need the Trinity to be Titans. I think you need them to be larger-than-life heroes, and Alan Ritchson fits the bill for a big, bulky Batman. And also, that will go very nicely with the fact that Robert Pattinson in that grounded Matt Reeves Batman universe is sort of this stringy, more tall, lean Batman. And if you have these sort of completely polar opposite Batmans in different universes, I think that can work. And I think that's the direction that they should and will go with DC Studios. So I've talked your ear off for 35 minutes here. It's been nice to sit back at the microphone. It's been a good episode. We talked about some trailers. We talked about some upcoming movies. We geeked out over some Superman and some Batman and a whole bunch of Batman universes and Joker. There's a Todd Phillips Joker sequel coming out, and everybody should be excited for it. If you haven't watched said trailers, I'm going to put them in the episode. I'll put them in maybe at the end here would be best. And then, yeah, we'll get back to you. We'll chat again very soon. It's been a fun episode. It's been a good time talking to you guys. I've been Comic Book Movie Guy. I'll talk to you guys very soon. Take good care.